Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome back to Radio Islam International on this Sunday morning. And this is our weekly panel discussion. The topic this morning is the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a life of submission and sacrifice. We have two panelists. We have Mulana Muhammad Aswad of Springs, and Mulana also studied in Darul Ulum Azadwal. And then we have Mulana Abdullah Hajjat, also from Springs, teaching at Springs Muslim School. And Mulana also studied at Darul Ulum Azadwal. They are our two panelists who's answering our questions. If you do have any questions with regards to the topic of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a life of submission and sacrifice, then you can call us on 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can SMS me or WhatsApp me on 076-786-2984. We once again welcome Mawlana Muhammad Aswad on the line. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mawlana Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Mawlana, can you hear me?
Ji, now I can hear you loud and clear. Jazakallah, Mawlana, once again for your time. The question now we want to ask you, Mawlana, is that in the Quran, we have been instructed to follow the path and the way of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So as a ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what is expected from us?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mawlana, as your promo says that, you know, the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is a life of submission and sacrifice. That is the path that we as Muslims need to follow, and that is also the life that we learn from Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look into the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as Mawlana Abdullah alluded to earlier as well, his was a life of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a life of submitting to the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a question. His life was a life of sacrifice, that he put his personal life behind him and he sacrificed for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything he did was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was to carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That brings us to another point, which tells us about his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how he was prepared to go beyond everything which was within his capabilities and his capacity in order to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be happy with him. And we also learn from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that his was a life of complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in every situation that he faced, he placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it came to the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave his family behind in Makkah Mukarramah and to go out from there, to leave them in this barren land, in a desert without any food, without any water, he placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of him. And when it came to the point where they put him into the fire, at that time also he placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn these examples from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that whatever he did, he put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before him, he put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of him, and he placed his complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And based on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always took care of him in whatever situation he found himself in. Apart from that, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's determination was to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever, in whatever situation he found himself, he gave da'wah. When it came to his father, he gave da'wah to his father. He was a da'i, a person who invited towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With his community, he called towards one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every situation where he found himself, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was in a position, and he taught us that we will call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation that we find ourselves in. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in different ways. In one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, remember Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, wadhkur fil kitabi Ibrahim, and mention in the book Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, innahu kana siddiqan nabiyya. He was a truthful man. He was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word sidd is actually truthfulness, and it is applied to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam alone, who had this quality of truthfulness in him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then refers to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as ummatan qanita, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was an ummah. The other word ummah is actually used in the sense of being a model of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hanifa, he was a person who was upright, a man of pure faith. He was not a person who would associate any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word, Allah ta'ala then says, Shakiran li anubi. He was a person who was grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever bounty and blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed on him. So Allah ta'ala says, Ijtabahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then guided him to the straight path. There's two words which are used here. One is ijtaba, that is mujtaba, a person who was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was also a guide, a mahdi, in such a way that he was a person who resembled everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to convey and to command. In another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ نِتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And Allah ta'ala tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we reveal to you, Nabi of Allah, that follow the creed, to follow the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And what is this millet or this creed, this way of life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was an upright man. He was a man of pure faith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was also asked to follow, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَلِمِينَ. That we gave Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam his guidance from long before. And we had known Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are ayats where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the qualities that were given. And these qualities that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam was instructed to follow these qualities as well, to instill these qualities within his life, and also to preach and to teach people these qualities as well. So again, in a nutshell, the qualities of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that we as a ummah must follow: he was an example of servitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was an example of submission to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a perfect example of making sacrifice for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a man who always carried out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any question, without any hesitation. And he was a man who placed his trust firmly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. And he knew that if Allah instructed me to do this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of everything else that is associated to my life. So as Muslims and as people who have this link with the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it is very, very important for us to follow this example. And by following this example together with it, we follow the beautiful example of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam as well.
Ji, Jazakallah Mulana Muhammad Aswad for that detailed explanation. Moving on further, Mulana Abdullah Hajar, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as a young boy challenged the norm of idol worship, and as we know from his youth, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam wholeheartedly believed in one God and one Allah, and he rejected the worship of these idols. In fact, we learn from the Quran that he challenged his father, his family members, even the king at that time, Namrud. He challenged him with regards to idol worshipping. But people these days seem to swing with the wind and blindly follow the trends of the time. It is important for us to stand for the truth and enjoy what is good. So on that, Mulana, can you give us some explanation with regards to the how people swing with the wind, Mulana?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Mulana, we say that Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa salatu taslim, from a very young age, he challenged the norm of idol worship. In fact, a better word to use would rather be to oppose the norm of idol worship. Because if we look in the Quran al-Kareem, just to allude a little bit, that Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa salatu wa taslim, what did he say to his father? He said, Ibrahim li abihi azar, atattakhidhu asnaman aliha. He opposed his father, but the manner in which he did it was a very compassionate way. He asked his father, atattakhidhu asnaman aliha, are you going to take these idols as your God? Atattakhidhu, are you going to take them as your God? Then father, Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa sallam, what did he say? Inni araka wa qawmaka fi dhalali mubin. Oh my father, if this is what you're going to do, then I certainly see that you and your people, the nation, they are on an open bubrahi, open astrainus and open wrong. Further, in the Surah Maryam, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam tells his father about the same thing, what does he tell his father? La ta'budi shaytan. Then, oh my father, don't worship shaytan. Because the shaytan is an open enemy for you. the verse before that, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam tells his father, Ya abati lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni 'anka shay'a. So, Ya, my father, why are you making the ibadat, worshipping every that thing or that idol which cannot hear what you say, cannot see you, cannot talk to you, cannot cause you any benefit, nor can it cause you any harm? So, what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, the very important lesson here is that today in the Ummah there are so many distractions and so many attractions also. And these attractions and these distractions are turning us away from the worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The type of media tools that we have, the type of apps that appear and come on these media tools, that people are just following it blindly and going into it blindly, not knowing and not realizing that Iman is also being at stake. So the message is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and I want to reiterate the same message as to the following of the trend in today's time, whether it be with regards to our dressing. Unfortunately, we say this all the time, that our youngsters are being exposed to the television, our youngsters are being exposed to the different kinds of sporting codes, and how these sports stars and pop stars behave, how they dress, how they cut their hair. Our youngsters are just following blindly and getting that way of life, that kind of dressing, that kind of hairstyle. This is what we call that blind following of people who's not going to be of any benefit to us, nor are they going to be of any good to us. They don't know who we are, we don't know who they are. Just like the idols, Ibrahim alayhi salam's father could not hear him, could not benefit him. They don't know who Ibrahim alayhi salam's father was, did not know who the nation of Ibrahim alayhi salam was. But yet, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gives us a stern message, and gives a stern message to his father. And we reiterate that message to the Ummah today, who are so blindly following the trends of the time, whether it is our clothing, whether it is in our weddings, whether it is in our functions, and sadly to say, whether it is in our funerals also, all these trends that are being followed, these customs that are being followed, actually becoming the means of the crumbling of the very fiber of society. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam very aptly put it forward to us, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, La ta'budu shaytan. This is all the ways of shaytan. This is all da'wah that is coming to us from shaytan, and we are saying labbaik to that da'wah. We are saying labbaik to that invitation that is coming to us from shaytan. So as an ummah, as an ummah al-muslimah, as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have as a role model our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have as a guidance the Quran al-Kareem. We have as our guidelines the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have made it difficult. The deen of Allah is not difficult. We have made the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala difficult on us. And what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam actually did is the very same thing which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Muslim Sharif refers to. The famous hadith, Madra Amin Kumunkarat Fal Yurayir Humiyadi, that if you see any wrong taking place, then you have to put an end to it. You have to stop it. Fal Yurayir Humiyadi, stop it by force. If you cannot stop it by force, then verbally put a stop to it. If you cannot verbally put a stop to it, then at least in your heart, create a concern and figure in your heart, how can I become a means of this evil? Stop. How can I become a means of this evil? Not carrying on and perpetuating in the lives of the Ummah. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the weakest form of Iman. So we need to question ourselves in this regard, that what is the da'wah that is being thrown out by Shaytan and the allies of Shaytan in the form of sports stars and music stars, music and musicians and pop stars and etc. etc. And we are biting to the bait and saying the bait to their da'wah. What are we doing to prevent all of this from happening? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam taught us the lesson that we need to take a bold step forward. In fact, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's father threatened him that Ibrahim, if you are not going to stop, then we are going to exile you. If you are not going to stop, we are going to kick you out. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam? He said, if you don't want to stop, I played my part. I need to now change my environment. I need to now go to my Allah. I go to a place where I can worship my Allah, where I can worship my Allah alone, and where I can gain, I can gain the help and the nusrat of my Allah. Ibrahim al-Islam left that environment. The environment does not conduce up to his iman. He tried whatever was in his capabilities to change the environment. But when he saw his father and the people and the king becoming aggressive and hostile towards him, then he had to change the environment. In a like way, if we find the environment of our friends, the environment in our communities is not being good to us, it's not being good not to us, but being good to our iman. big question. Our ibadah is a big question. Yes, we do, little do we realize the effect that these evil threats that invite of Shaitan is having on our every aspect of our lives. Unfortunately, we have so many of our holy days. We have the days of Eid. Now the day of Eid is coming in a few days' time. What kind of dress are we going to wear? What kind of haircut are we going to take as our youngsters? How are we going to adopt ourselves to celebrate our day of Eid? What happens to the Salah? We are carrying out now a few days' time the Eid al-Adha. We'll be carrying out such an important ibadah in the form of the wajib of qurbani and slaughtering of animals. But in doing that, what is the condition of my salah? What is the condition of my attending coming to the masjid to perform my salah? But no, we don't realize that we are getting caught up in the dictates of Shaitan, in the da'wat of Shaitan, and we are piping onto the plate, like our Ibrahim alayhi salam father, as his nation put onto the plate. Our responsibility is that we stand up for the truth, we stand up for what is haq. Remember the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we, as an ummah of da'wah, we need to give da'wah towards that which is haq, towards that which is truth. The rest we will leave in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
JazakAllah Mulana Abdullah Haja, just to remind our listeners that this is our weekly panel discussion. The topic is the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a life of submission and sacrifice. As we know that during the time of the year, during this time of the year, Hajj and Qurbani times, Muslim Ummah celebrate and remember the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The rites and rituals of Hajj and the act of Qurbani are both linked to this great messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So we are discussing his life. Mulana Muhammad Azwad, coming back to you, as we know the incident that is mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَئِن لَّمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِّينَ. Then in the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَر فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. This incident is lengthy, but from this we learn that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam looked at the sun, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam looked at the moon and the stars, and he recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recognized the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we go about instilling the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, Mulana?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mulana, as far as this incident and the people of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned, we know that there were people that used to worship stars, because they regarded the stars to be in control of life, death, sustenance, you know, trials, victory, defeat, any other matter in their life. They believe that the motion of the stars affected the system of the universe, and as a result, the stars needed to be pleased with them at all times. So, and based on that, they believe that only through worshipping the stars will the stars be happy with you. So these deep-rooted, incorrect beliefs which were in the hearts of the people at that time could not be removed very, very easily, because this had become ingrained into them. They inherited these from their forefathers and they continued to live with it. They even feared saying anything against their idols, because, you know, they feared to incur the wrath of their idols. And they felt that if they would do that, it would annihilate them or destroy them at any moment. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in this ayat of the Quran, teaches us also that what was his method of invitation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a people who had such deeply rooted incorrect beliefs. And he used a very, very practical method and manner of convincing these people of the truth. You know, he looked at the stars, which appeared at night, and he said, this is my Rabb. When it disappeared, he said that how can something which is temporary be my Rabb? Then he looked at the moon and he said the same thing, that this is temporary as well. The Sayyid Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam negated any kind of divinity from the moon as well. Then he drew their attention towards the sun, which was a body which was even greater than the stars and the moon at that time. And then he said that, no, this is my Rabb, and this is the most glorious of it. But then after that, when the sun began to dim and it eventually disappeared, Sayyid Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then exonerated himself from all these kind of false beliefs, you know, that, and said to them, very practically, in a beautiful way, that something that rises and sets, something that is temporary, something that is here 1 minute and something that disappears another minute, such things cannot be our deity. So he used a very practical method of actually calling people towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that also, he invited them to reflect on the greatness of these creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this world such for us as well, that وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ, that when we look around us, as the poet said it beautifully, that in everything that we find around us, there is a sign to tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this world and universe around us such that it is there for reflection. And if we look at it with a clear mind, with an open mind, and we consider each of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will bring us only to one conclusion, to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. So the lesson we learn from this method of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and which is also very, very important for us, is that wherever we are, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, we need to reflect over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by reflecting over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking about it, eventually we will come to the point where we realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also, in this ayat also, the manner in which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam goes about calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he does not just expect them to look at these things, but Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked them certain pertinent questions which make them think about them. So in other words, we need to talk and we need to discuss the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every circle, in every situation we find ourselves in. If we will talk more of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask questions to people, children, young people around us, people who don't think in that direction. And by asking these questions, we will make them think about it. So one is to talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask such questions which will make people think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this, it will create a kind of an environment in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness would become apparent in front of us. And there's a beautiful lesson that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us, that talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, discuss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about the qudrat, ponder over the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through that the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into our hearts.
Jazakallah, Mulana Muhammad. Coming to you, Mulana Abdullah Hajat. Also, we're looking at another story in the Quran where, when we look at the debate between Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Namrud, what are some of the lessons that we can take from this incident between Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the discussion and the debate that took place between Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Namrud, Mulana?
Well, this is the incident which Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala makes mention of in Surah Baqarah. Allah Ta'ala speaks about أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ, that Allah Ta'ala said, did you not see that person who argued with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Now just to look at the incident and the background of this incident, what actually happened, and from there actually we would like to draw the first lesson, that Allah Ta'ala had granted Namrud the kingdom, and Allah Ta'ala had granted him ownership of that kingdom. So Namrud, after being granted ownership of the kingdom, he became very rebellious towards the message of Tawheed, towards the oneness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And it is mentioned in Tafsir al-Mazhari, it is mentioned that people used to come to the court of Namrud and they used to ask for grain, for food. And Namrud, before he gave them anything, he would ask them, Mar Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? If they replied that their Rabb was Namrud, then he would give them something, and if they replied anything else that he was not happy about, then Namrud would not give it to them. So, firstly, what we learn is that Namrud was ungrateful to Allah. Namrud was ungrateful to Allah. Allah Ta'ala gave him kingdom. Allah Ta'ala gave him wealth. Allah blessed him with wealth. But Namrud, he turned against Allah. That was the quality of ungratefulness, and that quality of ungratefulness became the eternal destruction. Allah Ta'ala used Ibrahim alayhi salam for that, but became the eternal destruction of Namrud. At the incident, we know how Namrud was destroyed. Nevertheless, we're carrying on now. So when people came, and Namrud would ask them, Bar Rabbuk, who is your Lord? They would say Namrud, then he would give them grain. If not, he wouldn't give them anything. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came along, and Namrud asked him, Bar Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? So Ibrahim alayhi salam replied, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet. My Rabb, my Allah, is that one who gives life and who gives death. So according to one narration, this is where it all ended. Namrud was left speechless. He did not know what to say. So he he prevented, did not give Ibrahim alayhi salam anything. So Ibrahim alayhi salam went away, and as he was going, he saw Ibrahim alayhi salam, mentioned in Tafsir al-Bazari, Ibrahim alayhi salam saw a heap of sad dust. So he gathered that in the bag, said that I don't want to go home empty handed and make my wife upset. So he gathered that in the bag, and this is the second lesson that we will learn. The lesson of tawakkul and trust in Allah, and winning the help of Allah when you stand up for the truth. And you stand up for what is haq, Allah's help will always be with you. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left, he gathered the sand in the bag, he got home and he just left that bag of sand one side, not saying anything, and he went away to sleep. The wife also slept away. When she got up, she went to that bag, she opened it, she saw top quality grain. She made some roti with it, she prepared some bread with it, and then she went to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was astonished and shocked. And asked, what is this? So she said, that beautiful grain that you brought, I made this bread and this roti out of it. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was grateful to Allah. So one Namrud was ungrateful, Allah destroyed him. Ibrahim alayhi salam was grateful, Allah elevated him to the status of a Nabi. Nevertheless, now Namrud, according to another narration, Namrud, when he asked Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who is your Rabb? Ibrahim alayhi salam, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet. My Rabb is that person who gives life and gives death. So Namrud, he equated life and death, to something that creation could also do. So what did he say? Ana uhyi wa umeet. Then what you talking, your Rabb gives life and death. I can also give life and death. I also have the ability to give life and death. So Namrud took what, told his courtiers to bring one three person that was walking past, and the Namrud ordered that he be killed. So he said, look, I gave this person death. Then he ordered that one of his slaves be brought, and he freed that slave. And he said, this person was in slavery, now I freed him, now he's been given a new life, he's got to be given the freedom of life. So he equated that to something that creation could also do. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then put a bigger challenge in front of him. When Ibrahim alayhi salam saw that this person is being difficult, he is being so narrow-minded, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam put a difficult challenge before him. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. That by Allah makes the sun rise in the east, you make it rise in the west. By Allah makes the sun rise in the east, you make it rise in the west. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. Namrud was left speechless. Namrud was left defeated. And this is the lesson that we learned, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu, one was the lesson of shukr, making be grateful to Allah. The other one is the lesson of putting our trust only in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The third is that when we stand in front of batil, we will always stand keeping in front of us the qudrat and the greatness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Ibrahim alayhi salam used the greatness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, an example that are manifest of the power of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then obviously that made Namrud a loser, and Namrud lost his debate with Ibrahim ala Nabina wa salatu wa taslim.
Gee, that's a very important lesson that we take. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon that. Now moving on to Mawlana Muhammad Aswad, as we know that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was willing to sacrifice his own life when the king ordered harriquhu wansuru alihatakum in kuntum fa'ilin, that helped your lord by burning Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and throwing him in the fire. And then inna nasa qad jama'u lakum fakshawhum fazadahum imanu wa qalu hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. And when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was willing to sacrifice his own life. He was then thrown into the fire. We know the incident with Namrud and how the fire was lit and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was catapulted into that fire. But the question is, what lesson can we learn about placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam placed his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mawlana?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawlana, as far as tawakkul is concerned and placing one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, this is actually part of iman, that the stronger belief a person has in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more iman, or the stronger a person's iman is, the stronger a person's tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be. The root of tawakkul is obviously reliance, or we can say maybe dependent, that we say that we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything, and we place our reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reality of tawakkul.
And that is that we trust, that we place all our trust and our reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of both our worldly affairs as well as our deen affairs. And whatever resources we have, you know, whatever they may be, whatever that is we wish to attain in life, that also is based on tawakkul. So basically tawakkul involves a person's iman, a person's dependence, and a person's action as well. And as banda and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be aware of the fact that all matters in this world and the hereafter are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla, and nothing occurs except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to attaining one's rozi, when it comes to attaining one's provision itself, it is a form of worship and a form of ibadah. It is part of our completion and perfection of a person's iman. But at the same time, we need to realize within ourselves that only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us, that is what we will get. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of one of the qualities of a believer, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the mu'mineen are such that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, then they feel fear in their heart. And when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited to them, then this actually increases their iman. And they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayat, in Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, "Qul," say, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most gracious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in whom we believe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in whom we place our trust. So you will come to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by actually putting your firm faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many examples like this from the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One hadith which is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua that Allahumma, that O Allah, I have submitted to you, and O Allah, I believe only in you, and it is only in you that I place my trust, and it is only to you that I turn, O my Allah. So, O Allah, I seek refuge with you through your power, and there is none who is worthy of worship besides you. So, here Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used to make this dua, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us that you should place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything you do. In another hadith, it is mentioned that as far as tawakkul is concerned, if a person has to place his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires a person, that is based on his iman and his reliance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says he will take care of all your rozi and your sustenance for you. And when it comes to tawakkul, the belief that every person should have in his heart is that only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed for me, that is what will happen. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not willed for me, nothing can happen without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which it is mentioned that لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ, that if you were to trust Allah and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should, then لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will feed you and sustain you just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds and sustains the birds. They have no jobs, they have no profession, but yet they leave their nest with empty bellies in the morning, and when they return to that nest in the evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has satisfied them. So from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we learn these examples of tawakkul and trust. And the incident which is actually comes in front of us was the incident of the fire, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was being prepared to be catapulted into the fire, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me and said, "Is there anything that we can do for you?" Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, "There is nothing that you can do for me. It is whatever it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do for me." And based on that trust, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then instructed the fire that قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, and the fire then became a source of peace and solace for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the commander, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of everything in this universe.
and whatever happens, happens through His will and command. If we were to place our trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of everything. And the hadith sharif, which is mentioned also in the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Hajjatul Wada, the Hajjatul Wada khutbah, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to the effect that a person who would place his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring all his affairs together for him in such a way that the dunya would actually fall to his feet. Yet he would turn his back on it, but the dunya would come to his feet. But if a person has to hanker after this world and not place his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will still get his rosy and sustenance, but Allah ta'ala will scatter that for him. So in every situation, one is required to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we must tie the camel before trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even in that, we should make sure that whatever it is we do, we believe in our heart that only that which Allah wills will happen. A knife can only cut if Allah wills it to happen. A fire can only burn if Allah wills it to happen. Water can only drown a person if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it to happen. And if Allah ta'ala wishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reverse the effect of anything and everything, because it is Allah who ultimately gives an effect to everything that there is in this dunya universe. So a person who trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would actually take care of such a person. And that is a mark of a believer. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a mu'min is that person who places his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala would then provide from him, for him, from sources which are unknown to him, because a person has placed his trust in Allah.
Jazakallah, Mawlana. Just to remind our listeners, time right now is 13 minutes to 12 o'clock. We are listening to our weekly panel discussion, and the topic this week is the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a life of submission and sacrifice. And during these days of Dhul Qa'dah and Dhul Hijjah, where many Hujjaj has gone to perform their Hajj, and we are approximately 10 or 11 days away from the act of Qurbani, and this both is linked to this great messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So we are discussing some of the life, some of the history, and also some of the lessons that we can take from the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat, coming back to you, we all know the incident of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was instructed to take Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and the wife Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha to a barren land far away from where they were living. And we know the story of Safa and Marwa. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then decided to take them to a place in Hijaz, which was a dry, mountainous and barren land. Here Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left Hazrat Hajar and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam near the hills of Safa and Marwa, and this place had very little vegetation and had no water at all. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left some food with Hazrat Hajar radiallahu anha and a pouch of water. After some time, both the food and water ran short, and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam began to cry. Hazrat Hajar was panicking. She ran between the hills of Safa and Marwa, and that story is in detail. But we want to ask you, Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left Hazrat Hajar and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam in a barren land of Makkah without questioning the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we as Muslims, we after 4,000 years, how do we implement this type of submission in our lives, Mawlana?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before getting to the question about on the lighter side,
Jim,
it is mentioned that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was instructed by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to take his family, Ismail alayhi salam was just a few days old.
Yeah.
We know that Ibrahim alayhi salam was gifted this child at approximately between the ages of 90 to 100. Before that, Ibrahim alayhi salam continuously used to make the dua, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. So just a few days old, and Allah ta'ala gifted him with a child.
Yeah.
And Allah ta'ala then instructed him that he must take his child, few days old, and his wife, and leave them in the barren land of Hijaz of Makkah Mukarrama.
Yeah.
So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told his wife that this is what we have to do, the wife immediately submitted. Without asking a question and without saying anything, she was submissive, she was obedient, and she said that we have to go, let's get on to our journey. If it was a wife in today's time, Mawlana, she would do a job better than the CIA, better than the FBI, asking all possible questions, why, how, when, who, which, whatever, you know. So the important thing is that this lesson of submission obviously is not something that is an overnight thing. It is not an overnight thing. It's something that gradually will come into a person. But how will submission come into a person? So for that, we have to look at, obviously, the lives of Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. I mean, together with Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, or after Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, the most submissive people were those of Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. That whenever the call for deen was there, Sahaba were ready to submit themselves and give their lives as far as the cause of deen is concerned. But why was that? It was based on the level of the strength of iman. The level of the strength of iman. When iman will be made, when the iman of a person will be made, that for a person to have yaqeen in the promises of Allah will also become easy. Now today when we talk about submission, nobody is asking us to submit in the way we have to leave our families in the desert. Nobody is asking us to submit ourselves in a way we have to give our lives not knowing whether we're going to come back, like Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. All we are asked, Allah is asking us to submit to the will of Allah, to submit to the command of Allah. In basic aspects, as far as salah is concerned, as far as zakat is concerned, as far as, you know, possibly this will be a good program, as far as inheritance is concerned, if there's yaqeen in the promises and the warnings of Allah. If Allah said, if you do something this way, then I will reward you. And if you do it against them, then I will punish you. If we have yaqeen in those words of Allah, then for us to submit to the will of Allah will become very easy. So the important thing is we need to make effort to build our iman. That is why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave Sahaba ibadat. The first ibadat came approximately 9 years after Nabuwat. The first ibadat in the form of Salah came approximately 9 years after Nabuwat. For 9 years before the ibadat of Salah came, Allah Ta'ala worked on the iman of Sahaba. Once the iman of Sahaba was prepared, now Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gave ibadat. Now for Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi majma'in, to submit to the command of Allah, to submit and give their lives for every command of Allah, now it will become easy. That is when the yaqeen was built. Iman is equal to yaqeen. So the important thing, as we mentioned, is for us to contemplate and work and make such an effort to build our yaqeen through the making the effort on our iman. The second thing, Mawlana, is very, very important. As husbands and wives, we always think that marriage is about romance. Marriage is about keeping the spouse happy. Yes, it is. We should keep our spouse happy. But then our spouses have rights over us also. And among the greatest right that the wife has over her husband is for the husband to give the wife deed. This is where the zihn, with the mind of the wife, will be made. That now when Allah's command is there, you want to have a wedding in the home, the wife wants to have it in this particular way, which totally violates the commands of Allah, but the iman is made, the husband will only say, Allah says we must do it this way, then we will find submission coming into the picture, obedience coming into the picture. And like that, there are many, many other examples that are very sensitive to our listeners, so we don't want to give too many examples because of the sensitive nature, but there are many, many other examples that we can cite and we can give as far as bringing the submission into our lives is concerned. But the most important underlying factor, and I reiterate and I stress upon this underlying factor, is to build our yaqeen through making an effort on our iman. And that is very important.
Gee, wonderful. Jazakallah for that explanation, Mawlana. As we are pressing for time, so we're going to try and conclude very quickly. Mawlana Muhammad Aswad, we would like to ask you, the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam being instructed to slaughter Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu salam is well known to all of us. What important lessons can we learn from this? And also making our qurbani, how do we go about bringing alive the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Mawlana?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The answer to this question is very, very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to train us to follow the path of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And as a Nabi of Allah, he was willing to offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his dearest possession in the form of his son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala did not want Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah Ta'ala wanted Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to show his willingness. And the key word is willingness to carry out a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he did very, very bravely. You know, it is mentioned that, I read this quote somewhere where it says that the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is actually a story of a man's perfection and his freedom from selfishness and animalistic desires. So through this also, a person is able to, you know, acquire higher spiritual levels and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person frees himself from anything that would hinder him of become an obstruction between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that will bring a person closer. So through this incident of sacrifice, we understand that anything which is becoming an obstruction between us and reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or becomes an obstruction in us fulfilling our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to make sure that we sacrifice those things. So whether it is your wealth, whether it is our jobs, or whether it is rank or power, lust or greed, or spouses or children, it could be anything, anything which may be dear to us, just as Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was very dear to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So when we make qurbani or when we sacrifice, we keep in mind that in fact we are actually sacrificing that thing which is dearest to us for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say that, O Allah, whatever is dearest to us in our life, that will not hinder us from us reaching you or even acquiring your pleasure. You know the story of Shibli rahmatullah alayhi, you know, when the discussion of one of his disciples during the course of Hajj, when he asked him the question that, you know, have you slaughtered your qurbani animal during Hajj? And when slaughtering, did you intend to cut off the throat of greed which is hidden within you? So when you make qurbani, at the time of making qurbani and passing that knife over the throat of the animal, did you also cut off the throat of greed which is hidden in you? You know, by clinging to the reality of taqwa and following an example of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who was willing to slaughter his son for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the disciple said no. So in that case, Shibli rahmatullahi said to him that you have not even sacrificed your animal. So when actually Allah Ta'ala is not in need of the animal, sacrificial animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of the blood or even the meat of the animal. Allah Ta'ala wants to see that spirit which comes within us. And that spirit of sacrifice, to sacrifice our lust, our desire, our wealth, our jobs, everything for the sake and purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the most important lesson that we learn from this incident of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam on the instruction of Allah Ta'ala to slaughter his son.
Jazakallah for that explanation, Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat. We want to ask you, are we lacking in the true spirit of Qurbani? Are we lacking in the true spirit of Qurbani? And also, is the object of Qurbani is to feed the poor or to physical present a sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's the response to that, Mawlana?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawlana, as far as the spirit of Qurbani is concerned, this is no fatwa, or you cannot find the answer in any books, etc. In my personal and my humble opinion, yes, in the ummah today we find that there is a great lack as far as the true spirit of Qurbani is concerned. Maulana Muhammad earlier did make mention that the spirit of a Qurbani is not merely to take the knife and put it on the neck of that animal and then wait for the meat and enjoy the meat and forget about it. The spirit of Qurbani is when putting the knife on the neck of that animal, what are we actually putting on the neck of, what are we cutting? It is not merely putting that knife through the neck of that animal, but it is to cut our desires, our carnal desires, that nafs and that nafs amara that is within us. I just want to make mention of an incident. One brother a few days ago passed away. Allah give him jazai khair and let's make him maghfirah. One day he very, very aptly said to me, he groomed an animal. He groomed that animal from one Eid to another Eid. So the next Eid, when that goat was 1 year old, he made qurbani of that goat at the age of, that goat was 1 year old. He says to me, Mawlana, that the moment I put my knife on the neck of that goat, the emotion and tears that flowed from my eyes thinking that today that bonding that I created with this animal for 1 year is such that it's difficult for me to slaughter this animal. What was the level of the iman of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he put the knife on the neck of his son? And that is the question that we need to ask ourselves. That when we are putting the knife on the neck of that animal, what is the level of our iman at that moment? What bonding have we created with our qurbani animal? You know, back in the day, I know we are against time, but very quickly, back in the day, it used to be such a fun exercise. Before Eid, everybody gets into the kombi, the whole family, father and children are all going from farm to farm, looking for animals. Few days before Eid, the animals come in everybody's yard, everybody's playing with the animals. That bonding that was created with that animal, that emotion that came out at the time of slaughtering that animal, we don't find that happening today. We don't find that happening. Today, people just, unfortunately, just take out the money and give cheap
to give it away in India. We are not saying that they are not in need of it in India, they are not in need of it in any other part of the world, Palestine, etc. They may be in need, but first let us do our wajib at home and create that spirit of Qurbani. Create that spirit, that vibe that must come alive, especially in our children. As far as the objective of Qurbani is concerned, no one other objective of Qurbani is not to feed the poor, although the poor have a right in that. And if we have the means, not everybody has the means, those that have the means, obviously, in that animal, they should give some portion of it to the poor. But the real objective is, as Mawlana mentioned, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى. Allah don't want the meat and Allah don't want the blood. What Allah Ta'ala wants is the taqwa, the piety with which you carry out that qurbani.
Finally, to both our panelists, we would like to ask you a final question. Within 2 minutes, if you can kindly respond, how should we go about getting the entire family involved in our qurbani, and your closing comments and words of encouragement, Mawlana Muhammad Aswad, firstly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The most important thing to get the family or to get everybody involved in Qurbani is to understand what is the purpose of Qurbani. If you can understand that Qurbani, in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah had given him 2 alternatives. Either follow the cry of his heart or to submit to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his creator. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam chose to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Qurbani therefore is not a monetary ibadat. It's not just a duty that is discharged, you know, in some distant poor country or something, but it is a personal experience. It is an intimate experience. It is an emotional encounter, you know, an intimate occurrence made real by the oozing of blood. And if we can understand the real purpose for Qurbani, you know, setting up the families through Talim and talking about this experience of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that how he personally had to experience all of this and this emotional encounter, intimate encounter that he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inshallah will make it possible for him and for all the families to get together. And as Maulana also mentioned earlier, that, you know, to get the family involved in Qurbani, it is important that we take them together to select animals for Qurbani, you know, search for the right animals, know what are the regulations as far as the animals are concerned, know the purpose of it. How did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do it? What was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's instruction? That he slaughtered himself, he got his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha to slaughter as well, and family members also got involved in it. So together with encouragement and understanding what is the purpose and the philosophy behind Qurbani, and then trying to get involved in it as well, that the purpose of this ibadah is actually to get our hands messed, to get involved in everything. And that is, you know, from selecting the animals, paying for the animals, choosing the correct ones, on the day of Eid, getting involved in it. Another aspect of getting family involved in it is distribution of meat after that as well. What are the guidelines as far as Sharia is concerned, as far as distribution is concerned? You know, so to get them involved in every aspect of it, through this, inshallah, we're going to create and generate that ideal culture and climate as far as Qurbani is concerned.
Jazakallah, Mawlana Muhammad Aswad. And finally, Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat, if we do not carry out Qurbani ourselves, is there a fear that in generations to come the Sunnah will be totally wiped out? And also your concluding remarks, Mawlana.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mawlana, that fear is always going to linger upon us, that when the families today are going to keep themselves distant from getting involved in Qurbani, and as Mawlana mentioned, from the very beginning of choosing the animal, bonding with the animal, getting involved on the day of Eid, cleaning the animal, etc., then obviously we are just going to take out our money and we are going to give it to some institute that's going to our Qurbani for us in another country. Then obviously slowly this is going to come out of the Ummah. The essence, the importance is going to come out of our children. Today our children, we make them scared for the animals, we don't get them to play with the animals. At time to come, those very children are not going to show any concern. And in fact, in some families we see it happening already. Allah forbid, but we see it happening already. Ask where you did Qurbani. We don't do Qurbani. We send it out somewhere else and we get it done there. So that importance of Qurbani is already leaving the Ummah. And it's a very, very important task that we have in our hands to revive once again this important wajib act of Qurbani, that is wajib upon people who have the means, and to bring about this great sunnah of Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa salatu wa taslim again in the Ummah. That vibe that must be around, that vibe that must be created
especially on the day of Eid, that people can feel the day of Eid and its spirituality. And at the same time, we need to enjoy our meat, and as was mentioned earlier, that we will put the meat, we will put the knife on the neck of that animal, we will cut away that desires and the carnal desires after cleaning the sheep, when we put that meat on the fire also for the parai Maulana, and let the steam of jealousy, hatred, of ghibat all burn away, and let us eat that pure fresh meat, and Allah make it such, Allah accept all the qurbani of whoever is making qurbani, and Allah give tawfiq to everyone to carry out, even if we don't have the meat, try and make the meat throughout the year, that at least once in my life, I'm not going to sit back and accept meat from everybody, but I will make my own qurbani and get my own qurbani done so I can also enjoy the spirit of this qurbani.
Ameen, ameen. We say jazakallahu khairan to both our panelists, Mawlana Muhammad Aswad as well as Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat, for taking out your valuable time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you both in abundance and accept it from both of you.
Ameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our two panelists. Firstly, Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat, Ustad at the Springs Muslim School. And the second panelist was Mawlana Muhammad Aswad, also from Springs. And both of them are the graduates of Azadwal Madrasa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for the research they did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts that they did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to practice upon the advices and the important lessons that were mentioned from both our panelists. From the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what were some of the lessons that we take? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring into our lives. That brings us to the end of our weekly panel discussion. The topic was the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a life of submission and sacrifice. Jazakallah for tuning to Radio Islam. From myself, Suhaib Lasanya, and my engineer, Hafiz Anzala. Till next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.